Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Tuesday, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. We are together here for the next 3 hours, up until 11 a.m. Eastern time, right here on the grid. A recap of a Monday night finale, a Monday night stunner to end out week number 15 of this National Football League regular season. 15 weeks now in the books, 18 weeks in this regular season in 2023, three more to go. We'll recap what we saw on a Monday night out in Seattle between the Seahawks and the Eagles. Around the association, more losses stacking up for the Detroit Pistons. Bowl season back underway. College football national signing day is tomorrow, and the Huskers flip a big recruit. We'll get to all of that here over our next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. Donnie Wrightside.
Yeah, we got a lot to get to today, certainly setting the table for the things that are to come. And also, yes, college football, always interesting here in recruiting seasons. Miami flips a couple, Ohio State commits and moves into the top five here. Mario can recruit, but can he coach? But we'll find out later, but a lot of good topics today.
And we will find out a ton when they actually sign the dotted line tomorrow on the early national signing day around the country. But we start, of course, with the end of week number 15, a Monday night football game out in Seattle. The Seahawks going with the backup, Drew Lock. Geno Smith unable to be out there due to the groin injury. Despite battling the flu, Jalen Hurts lines up and starts for the Eagles. And it was Drew Lock orchestrating a 10-play, 92-yard drive in the final minute and 52 seconds of regulation for the Seahawks to pull off the stunner on Monday night, winning 20-17 outright as a 4.5-point home underdog. Let's quickly bring in our Sports Grid Radio audience here, opening hour of a Tuesday, live on the Early Line on Sports Grid, Sirius XM channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Seattle pulls off the stunner on Monday night over Philadelphia, 20-17. A 20-yard bomb from Drew Lock to Jaxon Smith-Njigba with just under 30 seconds remaining in the fourth quarter. The game-winning touchdown. 20-17, the victory for the Seahawks. Again, Donnie, winning outright as a 4.5-point home underdog.
Yeah, tough scene for the Eagles last night, who really dominated that football game for 58 minutes but couldn't close the door. And typically, as the Eagles were doing in the first half of the season, Ben, they get the ball back without 4 minutes to go, pick up two first down, the game is over. Because Pete Carroll has no idea what he's doing with timeouts, left his team with one. That should have been the death nail, but it wasn't. But also, the Eagles punt you down to the 10-yard line, under 2 minutes to go, one timeout to go the length of the field with Drew Lock, who hadn't done anything all game long. Enter DK Metcalf into the conversation, making one-handed catches that should have been interceptions and catching a ball down the sideline and getting 2 feet in bounds on the biggest 3rd and 10 of that game. The Eagles actually in a perfect defensive set, but Brown couldn't get over to make the play, and that's been a microcosm all season long for the Philadelphia Eagles. They lost that game last night, and the optics are bad. The Eagles will still be 13-4 in the number 2 overall seed. Questions about the Super Bowl, can they win it? Yeah, they're really going to come up now. But there's 3 weeks to rectify the situation and roll into the playoffs with a couple wins to get those vibes back and also players back healthy as well.
The Eagles have the easiest schedule remaining in the National Football League. Two games against divisional foe, the New York Giants, and a game sandwiched in between against the Arizona Cardinals. The Eagles will play a week from last night on Christmas Day in one of the three games that we have against New York as a 10.5-point favorite. Meanwhile, Seattle, now 7-7, one of the four teams in the NFC at 7-7 in the hunt for a wild card spot. The Seahawks, even if it is with Drew Locke, now favored to see the postseason. Now we go to the NBA. The Clippers playing really good basketball at the moment. LA has won 8 straight. They go on the road to Indiana last night and put up 151 points against the Pacers. 151-127. LA has won 8 in a row.
Yeah, everybody should play the Pacers here. The Pacers actually should be allowed to play 12 different teams every single night because the brand of basketball is sensational when it's all said and done. 151-127, James Harden with 35-9, and away the Clippers go. This is a team we anticipated right off the bat for the Clippers here showing up in the regular season. 16-10 now here. We'll see where they go, but God bless the Pacers. I love every single game they play, whether the superstars are in or not. They play a breakneck pace here. Win or lose, it's fun to watch.
The Clippers cover as a 4-point road favorite in Indianapolis, a total of 253.5, still skies over. The Clippers have covered in 6 of the 8 games on this win streak. A matchup of the MVP frontrunners last night in the Mile High City. One guy, the 2-time NBA MVP, Nikola Jokic, only scored in single digits. The other, Luka Doncic, had 38 points, and yet it was the Denver Nuggets, Jokic's club, getting a 26-point home victory, 130-104. Denver hammers Dallas, easily covering as an 8.5-point home favorite.
Hey, you know me, I love games like this, and specifically those box scores where if you just look there and said who won by the superstars alone, it looks like the Mavericks should have won going away, and that wasn't the case. It was the Nuggets, 130-104, 18-10 now, defending their home court at 11-2. That's a nice win, showing them it's not just all about Jokic here. They can win other different ways, and they certainly did that last night against the Mavs.
3 players for the Nuggets scoring in double figures. Jamal Murray leading the way with 22 points. Aaron Gordon had 21. And Reggie Jackson off the bench scored 20 as well. Luka had 38-11, except the next highest score on Dallas was Dante Exum. No Kyrie Irving last night as well. Make it 24 in a row for the Detroit Pistons. Last night on the road in Atlanta, the Pistons keep it tight. They make it a game down the stretch, but they ultimately lose by 6 against the Hawks. 24 consecutive losses for Detroit. They do cover, however, as a 12-point road underdog.
Yeah, Cade Cunningham, 43-7-3, certainly put his best foot forward to see if the Pistons can break that streak, but it wasn't meant to be. Sooner than later, it's probably going to be broken, but we're running out of time here in the month of December in the holiday season to get some of that cheer as opposed to the coal, which is what Pistons fans continue to get every single night.
31 points, 15 dimes for Trae Young. That just the 6th cover for Detroit in this 24-game skid. Bowl season back underway yesterday. The famous Toasterie Bowl in Charlotte. And what a game it was. Western Kentucky with their 3rd-string quarterback down 28-0 in the opening half comes all the way back to win it in overtime and celebrates with Toast Angels on the field. 38-35, the Hilltoppers went out right as a 4.5-point underdog.
Absolutely wild game, and this one wasn't even the Bahamas, which I caught my worst loss of all time on a Christmas Eve about a decade ago, but it never ceased to fail. You're never out of it in bowl season here, regardless of how much you are down. That was a wild comeback. And how about, just practicing special teams can help you win a few games.
Caden Veltkamp, the 3rd-string true freshman quarterback who had attempted 6 passes entering yesterday, 370-5 TDs. Speaking of quarterbacks, Mason Rudolph will get the start for the Pittsburgh Steelers as of this moment on Saturday. And speaking of future quarterbacks, Nebraska flips Dylan Raiola, the #1 recruit at the quarterback position in the country from Georgia. More on the early line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Week number 15 of the National Football League regular season now in the books as we recap it here on a Tuesday live on the early line on Sports Grid. It was a Monday night out in the Pacific Northwest between the Seattle Seahawks and the Philadelphia Eagles. Quarterback questions entering the football game. Would Jalen Hurts start despite experiencing flu-like symptoms? He did. How about Geno Smith on the other side dealing with a groin injury that sidelined Smith last week against San Francisco? Geno did not start nor play. It was Drew Lock making a start for the second consecutive week. It was Drew Lock leading a 10-play, 92-yard drive with just a minute and 52 seconds remaining in the fourth and final quarter and finding the rookie wide receiver out of Ohio State, Jackson Smith and Jigba, for the game-winning touchdown with just 28 ticks left in regulation from 29 yards out. Lock to Smith and Jigba, the game-winning score. 20-17, Seattle wins outright, booked as a 4.5-point home underdog. Donnie, what is your main takeaway from the Seahawks stunner last night on Monday night?
Seattle really needed that ball game. Like, if they would have lost that, they probably weren't making the playoffs, and they went out and got it. Now, the Philadelphia Eagles, as I thought, dominated that game, as we said, for 58 minutes. But you're not making those big splash plays anymore on the Eagles side, which should have been good enough. What did the Seattle Seahawks, up until that last drive, have been? Maybe 225 total in the game. I think Drew Lock was around 125 yards before coming away on that final drive, picking up close to 90 passing yards. He was really good on that drive, and that's all he needed to do last night. The simple fact of the matter, too, James Bradbury got on that final drive when the Eagles defense was really good in the secondary throughout most of that game. Where they go from here, we don't know, but here's the question marks that come into it. How healthy was Jalen Hurts in that football game? Well, healthy enough to start, healthy enough to carry 13 times for 80 yards and score two touchdowns. The bigger question marks come in with the decision making, Ben, in the fourth quarter alone. The Eagles had a first down around midfield here, throw a deep shot to Quez Watkins, who hasn't made a play in 5 years in Philadelphia, doesn't fight for the football. The DB gets the interception in the end zone, but yet the Eagles defense still comes up pretty big on the next drive. But you see the final moments of that game, 28 seconds to go, two timeouts, or maybe even three timeouts for the Philadelphia Eagles. And it was three timeouts. You had Jalen Hurts with a nice scramble up to around midfield. And all you said to yourself, the goal is not to get a touchdown. You're not going to score a touchdown with 13 seconds left to go in the game. But you can have two pass plays where you pick up chunk yardage, 10 yards, timeout, 10 yards, timeout. We'll leave you just with a couple seconds left, but that'll get you in range for Elliott, one of the best field goal kickers and distance field goal kickers in the NFL, to have a chance. Jalen throws it up for grabs on a double team interception to the sideline. It just made no sense. Those two interceptions were crucial because if you don't have them, you're putting points on the board and you're never in a position with your defense to actually give it up. And one more quick point too. 4 minutes ago in that game, one timeout for the Seattle Seahawks. Pick up two first downs, it's over. They couldn't do that here. So the Eagles had chances to close the door and they weren't able to get it done against Seattle. But credit them for making the plays when they needed to.
We'll talk about the Seahawks component of this in just a moment. Jalen Hurts last night, 17 of 31, only 143 passing yards, zero touchdowns tossed, two interceptions. Did rush for 82 yards on the ground, was Philly's leading rusher, and did score two touchdowns. The Birds put up 178 yards against a Seahawks defense that has allowed its last three opponents to run for at least 150 yards on the ground, but unable to convert in the biggest spots. That's three consecutive losses for Philadelphia. They entered last night in games where they laid less than 6 points this year, 6-0 against the number. That was their first loss straight up and their first time, of course, then not covering the number. Now 6-3-2 against the spread for Philadelphia, booked as a favorite this year. Meanwhile, when you look at Seattle, they've been an underdog now in five consecutive games. They have covered in four of the five. An outright victory last night for the Hawks, who get to 7-7. There are five teams, Donnie, in the NFC with a 7-7 overall record. One of those five teams, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, currently in the first place position in their division, that being the NFC South. So we exclude them from this conversation momentarily. Four teams in a jumbled wild card race in the NFC at 7-7. And the Seahawks on this Tuesday morning, because of Drew Lock's heroics, now favored at -150 to see the NFC postseason.
It's going to be interesting, and we'll break it down later, because when you look at that NFC West, maybe the biggest winners of that night weren't necessarily the 49ers. I actually don't think the 49ers were going to lose another game. That includes a game on Christmas against the Baltimore Ravens. But you would have felt that, you know, they would have to play the string out and do that. Now you're probably looking at the 49ers taking that final week as a, before they get their bye, another bye week here to get healthy for the playoffs. And in that game, they're going to take on the Los Angeles Rams, who, if the 49ers needed that game, probably would win it. If they don't need it, Christian McCaffrey probably doesn't play. Brock Purdy, Deebo Samuel, you get the point here. So ramifications are all around the NFL. But also, you know who might have been the biggest loser yesterday overall? The Dallas Cowboys. You say, Donnie, how could that happen? Like, the Cowboys are right back in it, percentage points away from the Eagles. Well, hear me out on this, Ben. You win that football game yesterday for the Eagles, you are going to carry that momentum all the way through, and probably that last Week 18 game wouldn't even mean anything, which means the Dallas Cowboys, who don't have a bye week, would have taken Week 18 as a bye week for themselves going into the playoffs, because they can't move out of that five seed here. Now you bring them back into the fold where theoretically they can still win the division if, let's just say, the Eagles lose a game to the Giants and or the Cardinals. I don't think that's going to happen. So the Eagles probably roll into Week 18 needing that game against the Giants, but the Cowboys, like, hold on. Now we need to play too, just in case the Eagles lose to the Giants, when you could have had a de facto bye. Wild ramifications across the entire league from that game yesterday, and we'll continue these odd scenarios over the next 3 weeks, as it feels like everybody's in it for every position and every seed, Ben.
You started that explanation, and I had no idea where you were going for the spin zone of an Eagles loss being actually worse for the Dallas Cowboys, but I do follow a little bit of what you say. Yeah. Again, Philly has the easiest schedule remaining out of all 32 NFL teams over the final 3 weeks of this National Football League regular season in 2023. 32 NFL teams, Philly has the easiest. Two more games against the New York Giants, including next Monday, which is Christmas. They're a 10.5-point favorite against Big Blue. They'll end the year against the Giants and sandwiched in between the Arizona Cardinals. So yes, Philly, a very easy path. We expect them at least to win outright their final three games of the year. But it's the overall outlook, I think, for the Birds that there is cause for concern. The fifth worst scoring defense in the National Football League this season gives up a drive, 10 plays, 92 yards over the entire length of the field, under 2 minutes remaining, to be the final blow that cost them their 11th win of the season. There are questions defensively for this Philadelphia team we did not have as the Eagles made their run to an NFC championship a year ago. San Francisco has all but clinched the number one overall seed in the NFC now. The only team in the conference that has 11 wins, it's minus 1,000 for the 49ers to be that number one overall seed. The Birds, despite right at this moment not being in the first place spot in the NFC East, are still nearly a $3 favorite at minus 270 because of how easy the schedule is for the Eagles and how difficult it is for the Dallas Cowboys. But I think the biggest difference here, Donnie, in the overall outlook of what last night's game showed us about Philadelphia, San Francisco, for the first time in either of the two conferences with any team this year in the National Football League, San Francisco is an odds-on favorite at minus 110, the first time we've seen any team in minus money to win a conference championship this season.
And they should be, because right now they are the best team overall in football. And again, that includes the NFC. They're going to have home field advantage throughout the playoffs. It's very hard to knock them off. And certainly being the number one overall seed, you get that automatic bye. And as I just brought up a little bit, they wouldn't even have two byes heading into the playoffs, being crazy rested by the time they have to play their first competitor in the playoffs here. So there's no surprise that the 49ers are moving to a favorite and a prohibitive favorite. They deserve to be. They're playing great football right now.
And San Francisco will be in action a week from yesterday on Christmas night as a 5.5-point favorite at home against the Baltimore Ravens in the nightcap of the tripleheader on Christmas, in a marquee showdown between the two teams that sit in first in their respective conferences and are the favorites to win each conference championship. Around the association, up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Even if you don't, you're still probably a... Around the association live right here on this Tuesday on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. The foremost NBA handicappers live right here on the Spiz Grizz. We'll look back on a Monday night in the association. A marquee matchup out in Mile High. Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets. Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks. The two MVP favorites and frontrunners early on here past the fourth waypoint of this NBA season. The quarter pole of this campaign in the NBA. And if you would look at the box score, as Donnie likes to often do, you would have thought the Mavericks pulled out an outright upset last night in Denver, winning outright as an 8.5-point favorite, or underdog, excuse me, because Luka Doncic had 38 points and 11 boards, and Nikola Jokic didn't have double digits in any of the stat categories, and he wasn't ejected or he didn't get injured. He played 28 minutes, and yet it was Denver winning by 26 points because of the cast all around the Nugs. 130-104, Denver wins and even covers as an 8.5-point home favorite.
It's simple. I mean, they're very good in elevation, 11-2 now overall, but also just take a look at that box score here and don't even look at individual statistics, Ben. Let's look at team statistics here. You take a look at a team that shot 44.6% from the floor for the Dallas Mavericks. Not terrible, but not where you want to be. Flip it over to the Denver Nuggets. They shoot 56% as a team. And we all know this is always the equalizer. It's the three-point line. How many three-point shots can you make? How many efficient can you be behind the line? You take a look at the Mavericks, 34%, shooting 13 of 38. And then the Denver Nuggets roll up and say, yeah, we got you. 14 of 26, good for 54% from three-point range. But this is something we typically don't see in the NBA, this type of disparity. Usually in college basketball, you might get it. High school basketball, of course you do. 9 of 19 from the free throw line for the Dallas Mavericks. 47% as a team. Flip it over to the Denver Nuggets. 18 makes on 22 attempts, 81%. Forget about the individual statistics here. The better team last night by far was the Denver Nuggets here. And it is surprising that Jokic could score 8 points and you can win by 26 against a really good basketball team. That's good news here for the Denver Nuggets. Just in case Jokic goes down with an injury or Jokic isn't having a great basketball game in a deciding, let's just say, playoff series, that's good news because they can always reach back and be like, hey, man, remember when you didn't even get a triple-double, let alone a triple-double to get any of your sides over 10 points, 10 rebounds or assists, and we won easily? You can reach back on that one. Good win for the Nuggets as a team.
And everything was in double digits for Nikola Jokic last night. 28.5 points, 12.5 rebounds, 10.5 assists. He goes under every single category. Meanwhile, for Luka Doncic, 35.5 was his points prop. He scores 38. He has 11 boards and 8 dimes as well. 2 assists shy of his second consecutive 35-plus point triple-double this season. Luka Doncic has scored 30 or more points in 11 consecutive games. Kyrie Irving not out there. His absence from the Mavericks continues due to injury at this point. And Dallas as an underdog this year, one of the worst in the NBA, just 2-6 against the number. Denver has been booked as a favorite in 25 of 28 games. They haven't been great covering this spread overall, 11-13-2 ATS, but Donnie, at home, that's where Denver has shined. They've been booked as a home favorite in all 13 games, 11-2 straight up, 7-5-1 against the number as a home favorite, covering as an 8.5-point home favorite last night against the Dallas Mavericks. Nikola Jokic remains the favorite to win the NBA MVP, plus 250. Now less than a dollar, though, in front of Joel Embiid. It's plus 330 for JoJo, the reigning MVP winner. And Luka Doncic sits in third at plus 360. Then there's the fall-off to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at 7-1. Giannis Antetokounmpo, the only other player rounding out the top five to have a triple-digit price.
Yeah, these numbers will change up over those, you know, February and March months here, and then you ramp up towards the playoffs in April. But again, you are going to get some change where Jokic, even though the team won going away last night quite easily, you'll get some movement because even though the Sixers lost, Embiid had another ridiculous night. And we know the MVP really is about just looking at the stat sheet overall and how well you're doing. And also, sometimes this comes back. Who won it last year, Ben? Joel Embiid did. Yeah. He's going to have a better season than he did last year, which technically he is having right now. But Nikola Jokic to hold off, we know down the stretch, there's going to be multiple triple-double games on the horizon. A team that could be able to be the number one overall seed in the Western Conference once again. And again, the fact that he didn't win it last year probably gives him a leg up this year. Luka Doncic put up really good numbers last night, but they got blown out by the Denver Nuggets. But if we're looking to SGA, I don't know if it's going to be his time. I love his game. He just, you know, plays in an Oklahoma City, a smaller market that the East Coast doesn't get to watch a lot of, and you're mesmerized by the box scores, but we don't get to see him a lot here. Giannis Antetokounmpo, we know he's going to be there, but some of that spotlight, Ben, right, taken away here by Dame Lillard coming over, and Jason Tatum, who's a fantastic basketball player on what I think is the best team in the Eastern Conference, but he also has other superstars on his team. It does feel like it's going to be a battle all the way through from Jokic, Embiid, and Doncic, because the ability to put up freaky numbers, those three can do that because they're the central stars basically on their team.
Central focus for sure. Joel Embiid is the leading scorer in the NBA, averaging 34.4 points per game. Those odds that you saw from the overnight hours have already shifted this morning live on a Tuesday. It will be interesting, as it always is, Donnie, to see how the team records and the overall seeding in their respective conference playoff picture does impact the individual MVP race. Because the Denver Nuggets right now, the reigning NBA champions, are at 18-10, that's the third best mark in the Western Conference. The best team out West, tied for the best record in all of the association, it's the Minnesota Timberwolves. 20-5 now for the T-Wolves this year. That's the best record in the Western Conference, clear by three games over OKC, a 3.5 game advantage over Denver, and they get their 20th win of the year. Do the Timberwolves last night on the road in South Beach over Miami, 112-108. The Timberwolves even closed as a slight 2-point road favorite. They cover as a 2-point road favorite. Minnesota as a favorite this year now, 11-6-2 against the spread.
Yeah, they're going to be able to do some damage. And this is a team that we've always looked at for the past couple years. A lot of talent, maybe sneaking into the playoffs. Could they do damage? Could they win the play-in? Yes, we've all seen that. But this year, now it looks for like we have a true superstar in the making in Edwards. 13-25 from the floor, 32 total points, 5 assists to go with 8 rebounds. That's always nice to beat the Miami Heat at home. Even though it's not the Heat team that we saw last year, now dropping to 7-6 at home. But the way you mark your territory here, 20-5 on the season for the Minnesota Timberwolves, win big games on the road, which they did last night, and improve to 9-4 on the road. This team, as the season goes through here, we're going to be buying in more and more to them, because I know a lot of people will say, look, it's still the Timberwolves. You know, we know those veteran teams out there in the West eventually going to handle their business. I'm not so sure about this year. Maybe it is the Timberwolves' year here to advance and go deep into the Western Conference playoffs.
Five players in double digits, including Naz Reid off the bench, who was only 1 of 6 from three last night. But the big man is hoisting. He had 15 points for Minnesota. Miami on the other side, still a couple of games above 500. Sure, they're 5-6 against the spread as an underdog so far in this NBA season, now past the quarter pole of this year. Miami is just lingering around. They'll be a playoff team. They'll make some noise come April, May, and maybe even June. The Lakers have already won a championship this year, the first ever NBA Cup, at the end of the first ever NBA in-season tournament. But since that point, after popping champagne, the Lakers suffering an NBA Cup hangover. They have now lost 3 of their 4 games since the conclusion of the IST, including last night as a 5-point home favorite out in Los Angeles against the New York Knicks. The Knickerbockers go across the coast to LA and win 114-109 outright. The Lakers booked as a favorite as well, Donnie, in all 4 games following the in-season tournament. They have lost 3 outright. They haven't covered in any of the 4. The Lakers struggling despite 32 points from AD and 25 more from LeBron James. You win a championship in the middle of a season, you never know what's going to happen after it.
Yeah, exactly. 39 minutes last night for LeBron James, 35 minutes for Anthony Davis. Not good enough in that game. And even though they tried to make a comeback winning that fourth quarter by 5 points, this is what we expect out of the Lakers. They're just a run. It's not right to say they're a run-of-the-mill team, but over the length of an NBA season, we're just not going to see that burst of greatness. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 win streaks here to try to get yourself up to the top of the standings in the Western Conference. For the Los Angeles Lakers, Ben, what's the goal in the season? Make sure Anthony Davis and LeBron James are both healthy and refreshed for the playoffs, even if that means you're going to get an 8th, 9th, or 10th seed overall. This is a team that can't afford to have LeBron James playing close to 40 minutes every night and not even getting victories out of it here. They do have a little bit of a hangover coming over that coming out of that in-season tournament, but this is what you're going to get for the Lakers, a team that's going to be a couple games over 500, probably when it's all said and done, just fighting for that final spot. But again, a veteran team loves the playoffs. Why? You play like once every 4 days in the first round of the playoffs. That really benefits the Lakers.
And the New York Knicks have not been great as a dog this year. Now just 4-6-1 against the spread, but all four covers an outright victory for New York as an underdog. And keep an eye on Jalen Brunson. On Friday night, he scored 50 on the road against the Phoenix Suns. His points prop last night, 25.5. He leads the way for New York, finishing with 29 points. A cover for the Pistons last night, albeit in their 24th consecutive loss. They were a 12-point road underdog in Atlanta. They keep it tight down the home stretch about midway through that fourth quarter, but they have now lost 24 consecutive games, 130-124, the final in favor of the Hawks. When is it going to end, if ever, Donnie Wrightside for Detroit?
Yeah, we got to start taking a look at this schedule to see when they're going to have multiple back-to-backs in their favor, because that looks like that's the only way they're going to win. Utah Jazz up on deck. Put it this way, are the Pistons ever going to be favored the rest of the way? Sooner or later, one team's going to be down three superstars and they'll be at home to be a favorite. Maybe it comes then, but again, December is running out here. Could be a winless month.
We'll talk about the Pistons when we play NBA by herself. The NBA handicapper's got you covered next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're live right here on a Tuesday on the early line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. Now time to go around the association. We're past the quarter pole, a fourth of the way done with this NBA season. Christmas, a huge day in the NBA, now less than a week away, just 6 days away. It's Monday. That's when things firm up a little bit around the association. So live right here on this Tuesday, as we get you into the Christmas festivities, it's time now to play NBA buy or sell. Twenty-four consecutive losses now for the Detroit Pistons. They lost their first game of the year. They won their next two. They were above 500 through their first three games of the season. And from that point, 24 losses in a row. Here are the numbers for Detroit. 2-25. They only score about 109 points per game, and they give up about 121. When you have a 12-point scoring gap, that's not a good thing from a margin perspective. And in this 24-game skid, Donnie, they've only covered six times, including last night as a 12-point underdog on the road in Atlanta. But I think what was more indicative of how bad things are for the Pistons, they were a double-digit underdog to the Atlanta Hawks, who had never laid double digits entering last night. And Atlanta is now just 2-10 against the spread. The Hawks, one of the worst cover teams when booked as the favored side around the association this year. So the buy or sell question, Detroit being the Pistons, the Detroit Pistons are the worst team ever.
I'm buying that. Why? Because the statistics are showing this right now. Last place in the Eastern Conference. They're 2-25 overall. That's a winning percentage of 0.74. Just doing some quick research there. The Charlotte Bobcats, and I believe a strike-shortened season, 2011-2012, had a winning percentage, Ben, of 1.06. They finished with seven wins. Now, that sounds terrible, and it is, but they didn't get to play that full 82-game slate. I believe it was only a 66-game slate that season. Now, the question is going to be here, is what do we make of the Detroit Pistons? Because if they get on a streak, which means they win two out of three, they're going to quickly bump up that winning percentage to get right around that 100 winning percentage, which is absolutely hilarious that we're talking about. But it doesn't look like we have an end to this year. And also, last night's like, hey, just got to get some of our younger guys to play better. Kate Cunningham scored 43 points. They still didn't win a basketball game. And maybe it comes at home, because they're equally as bad at home as they are on the road. 1-12 at home, 1-13 on the road. I want to say right now, yes, they are going to be the worst basketball team in NBA history. But we know how some things change here. They're not actively tanking just yet at this point. So I do believe they won't end up finishing as the worst team overall in NBA history, because that's really hard to do. A couple wins here and there could shake it up. Sooner than later for me, Ben, they're going to start winning. But right now, we can't deny it. 0-74 through 27 games here, I'm buying right now. Yeah, they are the worst team I've ever seen in NBA history.
It's really bad. Again, a double-digit underdog in five of their last six games. They have lost 24 in a row. Last night was just their sixth cover in this 24-game skid. Why do I bring that up? It's because they are not favored to win basketball games by 10 or more points, and they're not even covering numbers. They are not even keeping games competitive that the odds makers don't expect to be even relatively close whatsoever. That is the sign of a really dreadfully bad team that is almost rotten to its core. And let's not forget, Monty Williams was paid 6-year, $72 million contract entering this season. It was the richest NBA head coaching deal we had ever seen, which was fitting for the 2021 NBA Coach of the Year, who had great success with the Phoenix Suns, and we thought would be the guy, at least I did, to take this young in slightly talented Pistons core and elevate them to a more successful level. That has been the opposite of the case. To Donnie's point, when you look at the worst regular season records in the history of the NBA, Detroit is on track at this moment through 27 games to have the worst winning percentage in NBA history. 0.074, worse than the Bobcats of 2012, 0.106, worse than the 76ers of the early 70s, 0.110, or worse than the trust the process Sixers from 2015-2016, who were 0.122. Here's one of the interesting things, though. There are currently three teams this year in the NBA that are on pace to have three of the worst 15 winning percentages ever in NBA history, including the Wizards, who are 4-22, and the Spurs, who are 4-21. By the way, as we are now on a historic losing skid watch, the longest losing streak in a single NBA season is 26 consecutive losses, shared by the 2010-2011 Cleveland Cavaliers and the 2013-14 Philadelphia 76ers, who actually lost 28 consecutive games in two seasons, 2014-15, leading over into 2015-16. The Pistons are getting close. And oh, by the way, there is a market to bet on when Detroit is going to snap this 24-game skid. Their best chance is in their next game in just two nights from now, December 21st, back at home inside Little Caesars Arena in the Motor City against the Utah Jazz. It's a plus 250 price. All right, let's keep it moving around the association. We got word yesterday from FanDuel TV's Shams Charania about Draymond Green, saying that he has already started the counseling process and, quote, is expected to remain sidelined via suspension for at least the next 3 weeks. So, buy or sell, Donnie, to you. Draymond Green will play once again before the All-Star break coming our way in the middle of February.
Oh, I'm buying it. Absolutely. He's going to play well before that here, and how much he gets therapy, and it helped out a lot. And he's working with the NBA just to get back into the good graces to make it into the league. He's playing the game exactly the way you're supposed to. That'll be interesting. Sometimes we equate sports here. The NFL, you saw DeMonte Casey's hit over the weekend. The NFL said enough. You've been fined five times already for dirty plays. Now you're done for the season. How many more fines do we have to give Draymond and suspensions to realize he's actually not for the good of the game while he's on the basketball court? So it's an easy question for me and an easy answer. Draymond Green should be suspended way longer than the All-Star game. But we know the NBA operates, Ben, and I even included it right when this all came down, where the NBA goes, you know what? We know he's a really bad guy on the court. Let's just put that indefinitely suspension on him. It'll float away off into the sunset. We'll all forget. And then Draymond, poof, out of nowhere, will reappear back on the basketball court. The NBA had no spine in this. Instead of going indefinitely, they should have whipped out 50 games on him and said, you know what? We can go through the appeals process, but we feel you're a detriment to the NBA game right now. We're giving you a 50 game. How about that? But no, they hit the indefinite, which means he'll be back in weeks, not months, Ben.
Well, it's probably going to be a month, by all things told. The indefinite suspension handed down by the league office a week ago Wednesday. So when you look at where things stand, it will probably be a month. How many games that equates to remains to be seen. I think the suspension was fine. It's fair. And Draymond was suspended, not because of the blatant hit to Yusuf Nurkic's face, not because it was his third ejection of this young NBA season, but because of his track record. That is why the suspension is going to near a month. I agree. I will buy. He will play again before the All-Star break, probably closer to the middle of January instead of the middle of February. And I think the suspension was fine for Draymond Green. It is what he does, and I think everybody around the NBA knows that. But let's be frank. There is only one guy that is going to fix this, not NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, not head coach in Golden State Steve Kerr, not Steph talking to his guy Draymond in the locker room. It's Draymond Green. He's the only guy that's going to be able to fix this. Do I believe after counseling sessions that it's going to change the way that Draymond Green plays in NBA games? Absolutely not. But it is the reality of what we are dealing with here. And Draymond Green's been in the NBA for 12 years. And we know this has been the case. As we move it around the Western Conference, the Minnesota Timberwolves, a win on the road last night in Miami, winning by 4, 112-108, covering as a 2-point road favorite in South Beach. The T-Wolves now 20-5 this year, Donnie. Best record in the Western Conference with a 3-game cushion, tied alongside the Boston Celtics for the best record through 25 games in all of the NBA. But yet you look at the Timberwolves' price to win the West, it's still 11-1. To win that Larry O'Brien trophy, it's still 19-1. So buy or sell, the Minnesota Timberwolves are a legit contender this season.
I'm going to buy that here, but this is very interesting when you take a look at the standings in the Western Conference, Ben, right? The usual suspects, as we like to say, the Golden State Warriors, if the season ended today, not in the playoffs. You take a look at the Phoenix Suns, the 10th seed, the Lakers, the 8th seed, the Pelicans, who were that team was supposed to be up and coming over the past couple of years, the 7th seed, the Clippers with a couple superstars, the 6th seed, the Mavericks, the 5th. You get the picture, and the Nuggets, certainly not even in the top two. It was in the top two, the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Oklahoma City Thunder, because they're taking the regular season seriously. Here. They have young guys. Yeah. They're looking to mature and get those good vibes going before the playoffs even start. So I'm not going to downgrade and say, well, you know what? Under normal circumstances, the Timberwolves wouldn't be in first place. That's nonsense. They're 11-1 at home playing great basketball, Ben, which includes winners of 9 of their past 10 basketball games. I'm buying the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Oklahoma City Thunder sitting that 2 seed here. And I know, as I just said, you build them up to only say like, oh, well, playoffs come times around. We'll see who what's what. And that's all these NBA right. players care about. I get that. But the Timberwolves are taking this seriously, which usually means you're all about that business, Ben. We're going to win in the regular season, then we're going to expect to win in the playoffs. And if you get home court advantage in the Western Conference, that is going to be massive. We don't have to play your 7th game, or you know, it's game 7 against the Denver Nuggets on the road, or let's just say it's the Phoenix Suns. You have it in your own building. I'm buying the Timberwolves. I don't think this is smoke and mirrors. This team is built exactly the way you win in the NBA. Very good down low presence, but you're not relying on them to score a lot of points. Big men that can shoot the 3 and all-world player in Anthony Edwards. I love what I see out of the Timberwolves. I'm a buyer here, Ben.
Yeah, Donnie, I think it's such a fascinating conversation because the last few years in the NBA, we have seen those upstart teams, mainly in the Western Conference, the Memphis Grizzlies, who have been the 2 seed each of the past 2 years, the Kings last year, holding on despite everybody counting out Sacramento to that 3 spot out in the West. And yet come playoff time, those teams don't really go past at least the 2nd round, the conference semifinals. When is that going to change? Though, is it going to be this season if Minnesota is the 1 or the 2 seed? If they draw the Lakers out of the 7th spot or the Suns out of the 7th spot from the Western Conference tournament, you better believe the Lakers or the Suns are probably going to be the favorite in that series. And I've said it all year long, the odds makers have revealed the tale. When you look at the Big Four, the 2 teams from the East, the Celtics and the Bucks, and the 2 teams out West, the Nuggets and the Suns, still the only 4 teams that have a three-digit price to win an NBA championship this season. Quickly here, Donnie, as we talk about the MVP race, despite not posting double digits in any stat category last night, in a 26-point home win for the Denver Nuggets, Nikola Jokic still the betting favorite to win the NBA MVP. Plus 280 overnight, down to plus 250 on this Tuesday morning. So buy or sell, Donnie, for Jokic. He will win another MVP this season, his third in the last four NBA years.
I'm buying it here. I am. And the simple thought process is he's probably going to end up averaging a triple-double this year on a very good basketball team. He didn't win it last year, so voters will be more apt to vote him this year. Absolutely, Nikola Jokic for me. MVP season looks like it's probably going to be a good one.
He was my pick before the year. I'll stand with it. And to your point, Donnie, the only other guy I really think that can knock him off is Joel Embiid, who the idea of voter fatigue plagues both Jokic and Embiid. So it's kind of a wash. We'll round out this opening hour with a top 15 tilt in women's college basketball next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A huge top 15 tilt last night in women's college basketball as we keep it rolling through the month of December. Conference play on the horizon in both men's and women's college hoops, really starting in large part as we get going into Christmas break. So before we get to conference action, it will be conference play next year. It was number two UCLA and number 13, Ohio State last night. The Bruins down early, Donnie, right side, but they rally to stay perfect this year. 77-71, the victory for the Bruins over the Buckeyes. A huge win for UCLA, who remains at number two in the country and stays unbeaten on this season.
Shot 20% from the three-point line and still won on the road. Why? Because they shot 48% as a team from the field. Ohio State Buckeyes at home, only 38.5% from the field. Big win there for the UCLA Bruins, 6 points. By the way, do we have any lines on this game? Was there any line? Oh, yeah, there was. Ohio State as the slight favorite. So there you go. Nice road win by UCLA. Yep.
A big road win by UCLA. Ohio State only two losses this year, both against future Big Ten foes, but currently Pac-12 teams. USC in their opener. The Trojans now up to number six in the country, and UCLA last night. The Bruins now 10-1 this season, one of the nine remaining unbeatens in the AP top 25. But everybody looking up at South Carolina. The Gamecocks, the unanimous number one team in the country. All 35 first-place votes go to Dawn Staley's team. They are a perfect 10-0 this season and a relatively short favorite to win the national championship, plus 330. But LSU has found something. Since that season-opening loss on the opening night of the year to Colorado, they have won every game since that point, only back by 30 cents, behind South Carolina at plus 360. Then UCLA and Iowa tied for the third best price at plus 950. So that's how we come to a close here in this opening hour of the early line on a Tuesday. When we get back for hour number two on TEL, some big quarterback news around the National Football League entering the final 3 weeks of this season. Hour two starts in 55 seconds.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.